Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Champions League makes its case against Andrea Agnelli, and it is delicious. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, the 10th of March. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
You little cherubs, how are you doing?
Very well, thank
you. Good.
Very well. How are you, Kate?
I'm all right. Still reeling off the information that you did a gap year, Luke.
No, that's not correct. That's not strictly correct.
Tell us more.
I was inside. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for petty theft.
Oh, right. What did you go for?
Stole everyone's opinions, apparently, according to our list.
Someone's watched Free Meek recently.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, yeah. some lovely lockups down in New Zealand were there.
I think that it's...
I didn't get a gap year, by the way, just in case you're wondering.
No.
Didn't have the money.
No. Now that is a joke we could all get behind. I don't know why people don't support me when you so obviously bully me on the show. Like, I get no sympathy about that. No sympathy at all.
Oh, sorry. Do you want a bit of sympathy?
I prefer it when Pete used to take the piss out of me.
Really? Why?
More creative.
Oh, I feel so hurt. At least I know I've got Brass on my side, haven't I, Brass?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's... Brass is on everyone's side all the time.
Sinister.
Yeah. The only person who likes more people than Andy is Jim White, as we discussed earlier, who likes everyone. Even like genuinely terrible people, Jim White still likes them.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, we probably haven't got time for that now.
No, and we
not
can't list
football
them.
Last night. Bloody
we
hell.
We can't list them, can we? We're here all day. So... I'm really happy about this game for many reasons. One of them is that I love to hear Brassel say Porto.
Porto.
Yeah.
Hello.
I just wondered, that was very skillful, Kate. I wondered how you were going to get from passive bullying to Pepe. Yeah, exactly. And yet you've managed it.
What a bloody game. I haven't enjoyed a game of football as much as that.
For a long time.
I actually can't even think when I have. I was going to say I really enjoyed that 5-4 FA Cup game with Spurs, but obviously they lost in the end. But that was like as exciting and dramatic as some respects.
That felt like too many goals. I don't know. I felt like the
taking
goals
the
had to be worked for here. Yeah. Obviously there were less goals
Which
and they were spread over more
that,
time.
Given that Chancellor, Mbemba and Pepe are at centre-back, you had to work for the goals.
But Pepe's still amazing. And people think I'm talking shit when I say that, but now... Yeah. It's a bit like, for me, it's a bit like the Barcelona 8-2 to Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
It's like the rest of the world knows I'm not mad. Or at least not about this thing.
Porto were incredible. They harried, they defended, they were down on their hands and knees by the end of it. They played for, 66 minutes or so without the normal number of men.
Yes.
It was...
Why don't people reference it that way more often in professional football broadcasting? They now no longer have the normal number of men.
Mehdi Taremi is a bit of a prick though, wasn't he? Kicking the ball away. Oh, Jesus.
You say that. I wondered when he did that, I wondered if the referee, A, could have shown a little bit of leniency, as he showed a few Juventus players who were on a yellow card, certainly after that, I thought, particularly Cuadrado, who could have been booked probably about eight times.
Yes.
But I think, it reminded me a bit of the Van Persie at Camp Nou, because he hit it so quickly after the whistle went.
Yeah. And that was a terrible decision at the time, though. And yeah, it
was. And obviously, there's crowd noise. I mean, Taremi going, I can't hear that. It's just not going to fly, is it? Yeah. Despite the fact he did do that. But I think the thing is now, players are conditioned to play, or have started to be conditioned to play, past the whistle.
Yeah.
Like before, you play to the whistle, you play to the flag. Whereas now, oh, it might get VAR'd. Let's stick it in the net.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little harsh. It's a really good point in that.
Oh my goodness, you completely made me reassess my entire view again.
Yeah, he does that a lot, Andy. It's
amazing.
Yeah, it's annoying. I would just like to bring to the table that Cristiano Ronaldo absolutely embarrassed himself in that wall for that free kick. I mean, I'd have no idea what he was doing there. For a player who has achieved so much in the game, is obviously an athletic specimen. To turn your back like that and to kind of shy away from a free kick that was going along the ground. Now, of course, I know that he didn't know it was going along the ground when he made that decision. But it's a Champions League knockout game. Apparently, your motivation for still doing all this is you want to win the Champions League again. You don't want to win it that much, do you? He won't take a ball in the nuts, Andy. What's going on?
Well, Rabiot didn't do wonders for it as well. And Wojciech Szczesny might have done a little bit better as well, although you can say he wasn't expecting the ball to come to him and he maybe didn't see it properly. I mean, it was a bit of a catalogue of accidents.
But did you not think it was really, really poor?
No, it was dreadful.
Yeah.
It was dreadful. But I'm not sure if there can really be a case for individual blame. I think there are a lot of Juventus players and, you know, maybe even the coach that you can have a little blame of. It's funny, I was reading James Horncastle's article on The Athletic on it this morning, or on Ronaldo's future, or what Ronaldo's future might be. And he just had this little line in it about how Fabio Capello calls Artur the rugby player because he only ever passes it sideways or backwards. I enjoyed that.
That is excellent.
I enjoyed Miguel Delaney describing Ronaldo as a siege weapon that needs to be wheeled into position.
So that's like one of those catapults in the Middle Ages. Or
Trebuchet. We had a lot of trebuchet chat on this show down the years.
Look,
we had a proper running battle between two listeners who were medieval weapons experts the email section.
If I felt that my future was to leave Juventus and be wheeled out to Greenwich's Naval College, I think I could accept
LARP,
that.
Just to LARP. So basically, all you do is you spend your weekends doing live action role play weekends with medieval weaponry. Ronaldo wouldn't want to do that. He doesn't want the ball in them.
Oh, but it wouldn't be like in Peep Show where like someone's going, are we the baddies? If you're with Ronaldo, you're definitely the baddies.
If you could roll Ronaldo up, put him in a catapult and fire him towards the goal at the same time across country.
That's not the most useful use of Ronaldo though, is it, Luke? I mean, no. Seems like you know a lot about...
Can't get your money's worth though. I mean, you pay him a lot of money. The least thing you can do is get roll up into a ball and get into a catapult.
You seem to know a lot about LARPs.
Yeah. LARPing. Yeah, Me and Pete do it every weekend.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's your favourite?
I dress up as like a medieval wizard and cast spells. And Pete's a little...
But that's not real. That's the whole point with it. It was supposed to be like pretending to be real. Like, wizards aren't real.
You did nothing about it 10 seconds ago. Now you're an expert. Bluffing your way out of it. And Pete's like a little goblin fella. Like a bit like Gollum. He walks, he's a little loincloth on.
Do you reckon this could be Juventus's next venture, seeing as the Champions League clearly doesn't work for them?
Oh, my God.
Do you think, Kate, the reason you enjoyed this game so much, not just because it was an excellent game and very exciting and there were lots of twists and, you know, there was a beginning, middle and end to it. In fact, there were probably two or three middles to it. But the fact that it came just after Andrea Agnelli had his little, this is the future of football.
You're so transparent, Agnelli. Yeah. You are so transparent. Yeah, you might be right. Supposedly when you're writing, when you're plotting out a novel, a good thing to do is to keep the points of, like a crime thriller, the point is to keep the points of tension all quite close together. Mm. So you have little lulls, but then you keep there being really key moments of...
So like the start of the second half where you get the Chiesa goals and the sending off.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like it was plotted. You're exactly right.
Right.
There's so much incident that it's impossible to think about all of it. And by the end, in the fourth minute of injury time, after all of the extra time, there was still, like, Juventus still looked as though they might score. It was just so exciting right up until the end.
There was also a great bit when Porto scored that free kick we talked about earlier. the way the camera shot was, you just saw all the Porto subs running across the very bottom of the screen in their bibs onto the pitch. It was crazy the way it was framed.
That's like a little animation.
That sort of raucous celebration is what you want. Funnily enough, is what made me love Italian football so much as a kid. The fact that, you know, if someone scored, it was just such a palaver.
Yeah.
You know, you get like 15 ball boys getting involved, loads of people in club coats that you don't really know what they're doing there.
There's never any goals, that's why. Yeah.
The thing I liked probably most of all, as we move on to talk about Dortmund, is I think Andrea Pirlo, mournful, might be the best Andrea Pirlo.
Oh, yeah. I felt sad for him.
No, he looks...
He looks amazing anyway.
But when he's mournful, he looks like he's going to look into your soul out your heart.
Is that better than smiling Pepe?
Smiling Pepe
I
looks
suppose
weird.
So.
Because he was relishing it too much, wasn't he? He loves the struggle. But the thing with Pirlo, that you're right, that sort of mournful face on the touchline throughout. I think... It just made him look like a little boy with a beard and out of his depth next to Conceição, who was on top of it. Maybe the way that it unfolded tactically made me think that. But the thing that made me feel less sympathy for Pirlo, and it's not his fault, or it's not all his fault anyway, the fact that at the end, him and one of his assistants came and had a go at the ref. And it's like,
come on, mate.
You played like that in the first half and you think you can have a go at the ref. Like, serious?
Conceição is a man's man. I mean, he's a man who looks like a man among a lot of other men. Isn't he?
Yes.
I mean, we're all fans of Pirlo here with his beard and his kind of far off 1,000-yard stare and everything, but Conceição means business.
You're right.
He's
looked like a child.
All the way to the top, Sergio Conceição, no doubt about it.
Pirlo looked like a child, you're right. He looked lost. That's what it was. That's why it was so gorgeous.
A child with a beard, weirdly.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, he's got testosterone, but he's still ultimately not a grown up. Speaking of which, Erling Haaland scored twice. And sent Dortmund through against Sevilla 5-4 on aggregate again. In the end, this one, I can't say I watched a lot of it because I was sort of living through every moment of the Port.
Game. Sometimes Andy says no as a Portuguese person as well.
Go on.
No.
It just sometimes drops in there.
You fancy
doing that? No. Where's that come from?
I thought it was your cat.
Yeah. That's my petulant side. Yeah.
Now, of course, all of the penalty incident, we can talk about that. But I also really enjoyed I thought the first little goal was really cool, the one that actually stood. The little amazing assist from Marco Reus. And then just so not like as nonchalant as when nonchalance was first invented in the late 19th century. And then and then lifting up Marco Reus.
Like a
cup.
Yeah.
Oh. Brilliant.
But my favourite moment of the whole game was something you've alluded to, which was the disallow goal, where Erling Haaland, who's, I think, 20 years old, he just battered a defender onto the floor, just smashed into him. And that is your worst nightmare as a defender. Think, bloody hell, this kid's only a boy.
And Fernando's tough enough. I mean, obviously he's smaller than him, but he just shoved him over, didn't he?
Smashed him out the way. It was like he's a proper iron fist in a velvet glove, isn't he?
Did you see, talking of that assist for the first goal, did you see the tweet that Cesc Fabregas made about Marco Reus and said, oh, good old Marco Reus, what a player he would have been if not for the injuries. Well, he's still been bloody good.
Yeah.
In fairness.
That's such a neck, isn't it?
He's been on the cover of FIFA a little bit too much. And I think that is what is making Cesc feel sore. I mean, I remember going into a Sainsbury's superstore in South London a couple of years ago.
And they still call superstores?
Probably not. a large Sainsbury's.
Just say Sainsbury's.
And seeing like a cut-out Marco Reus there.
That's too much. I'm on Cesc's side there. That's too much.
Yeah.
You don't need the cut-outs of Marco Reus in British supermarkets is way over and above his reputation deserves.
Yeah, I think so. But
it's life size, did you say?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is only about that big.
No, 6 foot. He's only 6 foot.
Is he? That's why I was so small.
That's because he was being lifted up by a child.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There was an amazing story that came out about Haaland, wasn't there, related to Man United?
Where
Man United wanted to sign him, but they got the time of the meeting wrong because they forgot the time difference between...
That's bullshit, right?
Surely that's
you say that,
crap.
You say that, I'm going to give you two words. Mm-hmm. Okay? Ed Woodward.
Okay, sold.
Yeah, so the idea is that the Man United official was told to call Haaland's agent, thrash out a £3 million deal. Cheeky stuff.
Wouldn't get one of his toes now, would it?
Wouldn't. Maybe the little one. No, anyway. At 9 a.m., Everton also interested, but only Salzburg rang in at the correct time.
Sliding doors.
So awkward.
Well, I know it's a nice story to say it's sliding doors, but he's got a career plan and he wouldn't have gone there anyway.
Oh, Andy, coming in with his fact. Pathetic, something.
Sorry, with my pin.
Yeah, he wouldn't have gone there.
Bursting your balloon.
He only would have gone to Sainsbury's Superstore.
Well, Haaland was a member of the Norwegian Man City supporters group for ages, wasn't he?
Yeah, I know, that's
until,
really
like,
sweet.
Until, last week.
Yeah. Well, he's only young, isn't he? You forget, he's young. He probably wants to be spending
a year ago.
Time.
All right, sorry, I'm exaggerating. But anyway, he's realised that it doesn't look great.
Who remembers to withdraw from a Facebook group?
Well, I'm not even on Facebook, so...
Well, exactly, yeah.
Well, you had to move on from some of your... slightly unusual.
Again with the bullying. I won't get any sympathy, Andy. I won't get any sympathy for this. I'm telling you. Just a lot of being dealt.
Well, Haaland becomes the fastest player to have ever reached 20 goals in the Champions League. He did it after 14 games. What a joker. It took Lewandowski 36 games. Mbappe, 40, slow coach. And Ronaldo, 56. As discussed, he's a trebuchet. Jude Bellingham, also excellent, but there's going to be plenty more on this with you, Andy Brassel, isn't there?
Yeah, there will be. We'll be looking into it all on OTC on Thursday, which will be me, Dotton Adebayo, and Nicky Bandini. So we're getting lots of that Juventus blowback.
Can you also ask them if any of them feel like Jude Bellingham reminds them of Brian Robson?
Okay.
I will do.
Dotton's older, so he might remember.
The thing is, he looks more durable than Brian Robson, which is amazing at 17 years old. Can we talk about the...
It'd be quite hard to find a footballer that isn't more durable than Brian Robson, to be honest.
Certainly these days. did we talk... We didn't talk about the Haaland penalty thing, did we?
No.
That was fun.
The penalty that was disallowed, then there was an amazing second save, then an amazing block. It was an incredible passage of play, which I know that on the statute books won't actually represent anything anyway because nothing was scored and then it was disallowed. But I kind of feel like that's an amazing passage of play that is now forever lost to the annals of time. That didn't officially happen in football terms now, did it? Because the referee ordered the retake.
You have to keep it alive. I actually think you should make it your life's goal to retain that.
We should meet every year
and speak
LARP it.
I remember buying 101 great goals as a kid. I can't imagine buying VHS now, but buying 101 disallowed penalties.
Baker and Kelly should do a VHS again.
Yes.
2021 of the 100 lost passages of play.
I like
Email them in. Tweet them. Whatever, the show at footballround.com. Get it in. All the things that have been lost.
Also, I think what was lost in the aftermath of that when Erling Haaland baited Bono, and all the Sevilla team got very, very upset. Assist of the season, really, by Matteo Morey, who, you know, you talked about Haaland lifting up Marco Reus, but actually Morey, who's even smaller than Marco Reus, managed to grab Haaland around the neck, wrestle him to the floor in the pretense of a celebration, but he was really stopping him getting whacked by Lucas Ocampos, which was very, very skillful. It reminded me, you know, of that famous Lucas Podolski, Nuri Sahin thing when they were at Cologne and Dortmund, and they had that bit of to and fro, and then Sahin scores the winner in stoppage time.
Does the knee slide thing?
Really wet pitch, yeah. Does the massive knee slide past Podolski, and Roman Weidenfeller comes rushing from his goal and gets in Podolski's face, so Sahin doesn't get the second booking. Now that is great captaincy. It always makes me think of like Roman Weidenfeller being like the German football's Kevin Costner. I can always feel Whitney Houston playing in my head when I see the highlights of that.
Sort of thing Jens Lehmann would do as well. German goalkeepers generally are very good at creating distractions.
Yeah, but if Jens
Whether
Lehmann
it's a contract
gonna...
like Neuer or a stealing a fan's glasses like Jens Lehmann.
If Jens Lehmann is going to charge from his goal and do something unusual, I mean, it doesn't have to be provoked. It doesn't have
true.
To be
that
for
is
a
true.
Reason, does
that
it?
Is true.
More Champions League to come tonight, of course, Liverpool playing. And we know, perhaps, that Jürgen Klopp will not be Germany boss in the near future, despite the fact that Jogi Löw has announced on his Smooth Classics at 7 show that that he will be leaving the post at the end of the season.
That's the easiest job in radio, that Smooth Classics station.
You're listening.
Because all you got to do, obviously, first of all, classic piece
is
of
this
music.
ASMR?
No. We're... Everyone listening, Kate's just discovered today what ASMR is, and she's finding it very difficult to get her head around it. We need Pete to explain more accurately. We'll come on to that shortly. But
Pete can do it in the voice as well, can't he?
If you're
he's got those skills.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, it's sickening. If you're working on like a classical radio station, first of all, the pieces of music are all about 10 minutes long, right? First and foremost. Second, so all you've got to do, because it's so chilled out, every 10 minutes is just go, the unmistakable sound. Of Brahms. And that's it. And the music
the thing is,
again.
I thought when there were that's long it. Pieces of music like that, you have to go, reload. Yeah, text rewind. Me on 8569.
Rewind. A rewind, Kate, is in the drum and bass and jungle. Anyway, Yogi Love.
Yes.
Only love can break your heart.
Quite. And yeah. He has, kind
when love
of.
Love comes to town.
By leaving
has he broken
too
anyone's
late.
Heart?
He's left too late.
No.
He's done a Roy Jones Jr. thing.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's interesting that everyone piled on Klopp immediately. I mean, Klopp has said that sometime in the future he's interested in Germany. But A, before you get away from, get onto the ridiculousness of Liverpool getting rid of him now, which is, mm-hmm. I think it's totally off
Hang
the
on,
table.
He's lost six home league games in a row. Why would Germany want him?
Yes. Well, they're very good at that already, losing at, yeah. losing at home embarrassingly.
More the same.
Yeah, exactly. I think you look at someone like that who's so involved, I find it hard to see him being a national team coach.
Yeah, yes. You said that to me before. I think that's probably
good point.
Fair, yeah.
The Hansi Flick one is interesting because
it's a shame for him though. I think at this point,
I don't think he should be doing that at this stage. Isn't this a sort of retirement gig?
Yeah,
no. Well, that's
how everyone thinks of international football these days. But the thing is with Hansi Flick is he's had a bit of time away from it. He's done so brilliantly at club level, which is not necessarily completely applicable to international football. But I think it's the fact that he's got this really quite publicly terrible relationship with Hasan Salihamidžić, who's the sporting director of Bayern. So when it comes to discussing contracts, player futures, all that sort of stuff, there's a lot more stuff that could happen. I mean, I think people will look at it and think it is ridiculous because he's won everything with Bayern. Why would Bayern want to get rid of him? Mm. I don't think it's just that angle of it. There's a lot more to it.
Okay, I liked it when Yogi Love scratched his balls and sniffed his fingers.
Yes, yeah, sorry, we're supposed to do our favourite. I mean, that's...
Come on.
You see,
that's the thing he's known for.
Yeah,
we already won the World Cup.
We already discussed, didn't we, that I had that Lego figure of him, which can hold a tactics board, but fortunately, with Lego hands, cannot scratch and sniff his own bollocks.
Did you not feel pity for him when that all blew up?
No, I thought the man is standing on the touchline of one of the world's biggest sporting events, scratching his nuts and sniffing his fingers in the view of about 45 cameras. In what world is he going to get any sympathy for that?
He's just showing he's really comfortable with the job.
It wasn't through the curtain
really
in his hotel room on a long lens, was it?
He just knows how to make himself at home. He was just demonstrating his complete confidence in his job.
And that's fair enough. That maybe he wants to own it. I'm just saying that's what he'll always be known for.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Anyway.
Well, he thinks he's had some great triumphs, but ultimately it all boils down to Luke's memory of his nuts. Yeah.
Not just my memory.
Everybody's
we've never
memory.
Had such a response when that happened on the ramble. Anyway, I've been told to tell everyone that over on this week's episode of Between the Lines with the excellent Melissa Reddy, Melissa delves into the relentless pressures that referees are under in football in 2021. She speaks to former Premier League referees and amateur referees as well about their experiences on the field and what can be done to help them, as well as the sways of rule changes and how to fix VAR. Mm. All you need to do, listeners listening wherever you are, is just search Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy in your podcast app to listen and subscribe now. And I would strongly recommend you do so. It's a fantastic show. Every episode is great, really revealing, really eye-opening as well. So, and this episode is no exception. So that's Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy. Search it wherever you get your podcasts and listen and subscribe.
Brilliant stuff. Do it. In fact, do it now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Danny Welbeck, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
We've got one here from Steve
Dunn.
Whoa! Boy!
He's got a jingle first, big man. Careful.
We
on
had
that.
The jingle, didn't we?
That's the ad break.
Oh, fuck.
Also, give Danny Welbeck a bit of credit. Give him a bit of time to. Give Welbs is that guy. Welbs is that guy.
You say that, but Steve Dunn's getting mentioned twice, so he's happy about
he's
it.
Sure, he is actually. Yeah.
Three times now.
Yeah. That's a great point. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It's me, Brass, and Luke. In your ears, and so are these.
Just email the show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Mr. Kane, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
You know what time it is. It's Steve Durr time. He's been in touch regarding Jules' medical advice on Monday. This past summer, my friend and I were swimming in the ocean in Charleston, South Carolina, when he was stung by a jellyfish. I told him he needed to pee on it, but being a medical doctor, he disagreed.
Huh.
Turned out it's exposing the sting to the air above the water that creates most of the pain. If you rub off the area you were stung very well before leaving the water, it's supposed to reduce the pain. Not done any research to confirm this, but he is a doctor, so maybe this can help people in need instead of dousing themselves with piss. We're not talking about them dousing themselves with piss. We're talking about a concentrated area.
Yeah. I like the idea of two men standing on the beach screaming at the top of their voices, piss on it! I'm not pissing on it! You piss on it! I don't want to piss on it!
So you've got to rub yourself off instead of...
Yeah.
Instead of pissing. So okay.
That's the football ramble position. Rub yourself off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Horses for courses, I guess. Although a medical doctor has called for it, and thank you, Steve.
I thought there was something. I thought there was something in the kind of chemical makeup of urine that meant it essentially assuaged, if that's the word, the infection or the pain or whatever.
Well, that was the delusion that Jules was apparently labouring under.
No, but I don't think it is a delusion. I think I kind of agree that that is the case, because I remember my granddad had a similar thing when he was in on holiday somewhere, and it was the same situation.
He also pissed on himself.
Had to. But then this is probably back in the 80s. So medical innovation has probably moved on since then. Generally speaking, we're not treating medical ailments with piss generally, are we?
I would say...
leeches, that's what you want to use.
Yeah.
Don't listen to us.
No, yeah. We're not medical professionals.
Okay.
That would be my call on this. Chris Hines also written in something far that we can deal with far more efficiently in response to Jim's call for football music crossovers. It's not that obscure, but worth a reminder that Clint Dempsey of Fulham and USA fame is also a rapper with the moniker Deuce.
He is. We talked about it a few years ago, and there is a video. It might still be around. Just search it on YouTube. There's some kind of... it might be a video game launch. It might be an announcement of Clint Dempsey signing for an MLS team or something. But he raps. He does actually rap. And he's got a basketball shirt and some glasses. It's not great, to be honest. But he does try very hard.
Well, there are two issues with this. Mm. Firstly, he's not a Dutch forward.
Yeah.
And secondly, weren't Juice some sort of bubblegum pop band as well?
You don't have to be a Dutch forward to be... involved in music. I mean, I'm thinking Royston Drenthe. He wasn't really a forward. He did got involved.
Winger? Well, I think he falls into that category.
Fair enough. I mean, we should also say that when we did the Ramble Meets with Danny Murphy, I think it was a Danny Murphy episode, he said that...
He's not a rapper, is he?
Imagine that. That'd be amazing. That would be amazing. He once said that Clint Dempsey reacted to some bad team news He reacted so poorly that he punched a plate glass window and sliced himself up badly.
Clint Dempsey did that.
Got a temper on him, apparently.
Bloody hell. Okay, well, write in. Tell us more. I think we need a lot more. We need a medical columnist, basically, don't we, on here? show@footballramble.com. If you have any medical queries, go to NHS Direct, please.
Yeah, or we do what we do, just ask Pete. Anyway, now it's time for...
Let me add a little bit of spice to that.
Yeah, one of my favourite... is that a jingle? Or just a clip, isn't it? One of my favourites of all time.
Is that a jingle or is that something that's been used in Luke's game and you've recycled?
Yeah, I've recycled it. I've got a new game. I've got a new game for you guys. I haven't got a jingle or a name for it as yet, but the guys have prepared a couple of little bits and pieces for me.
We're workshopping. Is that what this
is?
Yeah,
so, I mean, we might hear some production a bit later on, but if you like the game, email in, tweet in. Can't text in. I don't know why I said that. Tweet in. Don't give us a name for it. What we're going to do is we are going to play a higher or lower type game based on Andy's knowledge. We're going to test Andy.
What's the game called?
I haven't got a name for it. I just said
it's like Luke's Game 2.
No, I didn't even want to call the first game Luke's Game. It just got stuck as that.
Right.
It's, you can see why people would find that hard to believe.
Yeah, well, yeah, quite. Fair enough. It has dogged me. But Andy, we're going to play for it and see how we go. So basically...
If I win it, can I name it after me?
You can't not win
all right.
it, can
no,
you?
That's fair. No,
how can you not win it if it's just you? I'm not in this.
You'll see.
I'm just sitting back.
You'll see. Oh. If you get to 10, you can choose the name of the game.
Okay.
If you don't, the listeners will. Okay?
Okay.
All right, so it's you versus the listeners.
Okay.
We're going to go...
Don't set it up like that.
It's you versus everyone else in the world. First of all, you're going to choose a number to pick the category you're going to be playing on. And it could be, for example, international caps. It could be pro appearances, goals, international goals, and so on. So I need a number from you between 1 and 5.
5.
Straight away, 5. Okay. 5 is international caps. How exciting. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a player and you're going to tell me if they achieved a higher or lower amount of international caps than the previous player. Okay, that's how easy it is. That's all you got to do.
Okay,
I
quite easy.
I think I follow that.
Yeah, so right. It'll become fairly clear. So I have 10 players here, and if you get all 10, you can name the game, all right?
Okay.
So your starting player is Sergio Ramos, and at the time of recording, he has achieved 178 international caps.
Yes.
So your next player, and all you've got to do is tell me whether it's higher or lower, and see if you can get to 10. The next player is Sergio Busquets.
Lower.
That's why he's got 120 caps. 120 caps for Sergio Busquets, okay? Your next player, has he got more or fewer international caps than Sergio Busquets? It's Ivan Rakitic.
More. Oh, fuck.
You're still not playing.
Sorry.
Fucking Mason.
Less.
Fewer. Yes. 2.
Damn.
106.
I only said less rather than fewer to annoy Kate because she interrupted.
Yeah, right. Out of order, Kate. By the way, the reason Kate's not involved is because if I tell her she's playing a game on this show, I have a week of nervousness where she never stops messaging me about how badly she's going to do. So I just cut her out of it. So, Ivan Rakitic.
It's because I need to get focused, is why.
So you've got 2 so far, okay? Next up, 106 caps for Ivan Rakitic. The next player is John Terry.
Fewer.
That's what? Also correct.
Oh my God.
78
How
caps.
How are you doing this?
78 caps. People listening can play along at home. That's 3. After this, Peter Cech.
More.
That's 4. Peter Cech's got 124 international caps. 124. Okay, your next player. Ashley Cole.
Few up.
That's 5, 107.
Goalkeepers always get more.
107. Yeah, you'd have to go.
Don't diminish my achievements. Yeah. Especially as I'm only halfway through.
Number 6. Here we go. Has he got fewer or more than 107 international caps? Stuart Pearce.
Fewer.
That's 6. 78. Okay, now's where it gets really tough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Higher or lower than 78? Fizzer.
Fewer.
That's correct. Got 3 players to go.
Watch as the mention of Fizzer makes things more difficult.
Fizzer got 59, actually. That's a lot of international caps for a man who literally exists as a figure of fun on this show from now on. So 59 for Phil Neville, Fizzer. Next player. Player number 8 of 10. Paul Gascoigne.
More.
He says more. Mason's shaking her head. She has no idea what's going on, but she's shaking her head. What do you think?
I'm not convinced, but I got two wrong already.
Paul Gascoigne got less than 59 caps.
Andy, you lose.
That breaks my heart.
He got 57, sadly.
No.
So you got, as far as I can work out, you got to play a number seven. That is the benchmark. That's the right. benchmark. There are 10 to go every time we play this game. The record currently stands at seven.
What are the other categories? Can you tell me that, or is that classified information?
I want to play now.
You can't. Yeah, maybe next time.
This is so like the playground again. This is. I'm getting flashbacks. I'm gonna have to, why was everything always a two-player game? I don't know. There'd be two people. It'd be a two-player game. There'd be three people. There'd be a three-player game. It was never a mace number of people play a game.
Just because the whole world is your game, Kate.
Right.
The whole world is your playground. The other categories are international goals, pro appearances, just general amounts of professional goals. It's different every time.
Okay.
But you got international caps this time and you got seven players, which was very good, but you still technically lose. Kate, okay. It's back to you.
Does that mean I win?
Yeah, why not?
Thanks. Give a moment now as it's... as Brassel's looking really miserable.
Yeah.
To reflect on the year that we've had, as this week it's a year. It's a bloody year since football shut down as a result of COVID. Hmm. It feels like a hell of a long time and also an incredibly short time in some bizarre way. There was, of course, no Premier League last night, which is pretty much the only day in the last...
I didn't know where I was.
Yeah.
Just turned TV on at 6 o'clock or whatever ridiculous time it is. Where's the football?
It's back later.
90-day fiancé, what's this? Yeah, no, it's on tonight, isn't it? It's on tonight again. Yeah, Man City v Southampton.
There have been plenty of games played. Some people might say too many, but last night, none. And I just wanted a chance to reflect on what we've missed and what it's been like.
It's not the time to reflect, isn't it? It's a good idea. A year on, lots changed.
I know. Lots of you guys have been tweeting in to talk about what you've missed from not being able to actually go to the games. Divvy Dave.
He called himself that on social media. Divvy Dave. Dave, have a bit of respect for yourself, for goodness sake. Unless Charlie's just called him that.
Maybe Divvy's short for Divine.
Divine Dave.
Nice idea. Yeah. Okay. Is it? Tell us, Ryan. Yeah. Missing my weekly dose of real football at non-league level, the game in its rawest and purest form, a linesman who can't run, a midfield hatchet man and half-time dishwasher tea and a foam cup that burns your mouth to pieces. Yeah. That stuff's bad, isn't it? Because you can't then taste anything for the rest of the week.
I love all those things.
But
it's made me pretty nostalgic. We went to a Peckham game, didn't we? Peckham Town game. We squeezed one in.
That was an amazing experience.
Andy got in trouble for asking for a green tea, you remember?
Of course.
Yeah. In Peckham. A non-league game.
Peckham's the sort of place you would get a green tea. I don't know what you're talking about.
Peckham Town isn't actually in Peckham, though, to be fair.
That is the thing, isn't it?
But yeah. I miss all those plays, almost all those things. I mean,
they've rectified that, by the way, now, Peckham Town.
What, just because of you?
In your honour, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of too hot food in the reminiscences that we've had on Twitter. Steve Jones says pies that are hotter 20 minutes after you bought them than they were when you first got them. And Kyle's on about Bovril and the stench of a well-used toilet.
Are they separate things?
It's a great question. Yeah. What about you, Luke? What have you been missing?
I've missed... This is a bit more of an ethereal answer, but I've missed the appointment of football. Mm. As in, like, I know it kind of got a bit this way before COVID happened, and I think I probably complained about it at the time because I complained about everything else. But I like the event of football. I like the fact that there's loads of games on at the same time on a Saturday. I like that Saturday, Sunday, generally speaking, our football, is English Football League and English Premier League games, generally speaking, there's an appointment to watch. And you kind of feel a little bit cut adrift. You don't really know where you are with things. There's certain games here. Teams have played different amounts of games there. And so I miss that kind of routine of it, I think. Mm. But worryingly, and it'll be very, very interesting to get your guys' take on this and also how people feel more generally. I've now got used to the idea of there being no fans in the stadium. Yeah. Like, it doesn't even register with me now.
It's almost quite overwhelming, I think, when you see... a clip of old football
exactly
with fans.
The right word, yeah.
It's funny because I think Leon published yesterday an Alex Lacazette goal because it was 4 years since they beat Roma in a Europa League game. It was a brilliant game, 4-2. And the noise when Lacazette's goal goes in, it's amazing. Yeah. That's the thing I miss the most.
Yeah.
The noise when the goal goes in. And I think of all the stadiums where you hear that, and it's something that they've done really well at a new stadium in Lyon. The noise when the goal goes in is pretty spectacular. I think it's difficult to get more than, say, Marseille, where I remember Andre Ayew scoring the winner against Inter Champions League game I was covering. This was ages ago now. And it was, I think I described it at the time, it was a bit like a drum and bass night. You can't just hear it in your ears or even in your jawbone. You feel it in your chest.
Yes.
And it's amazing. And it was like that.
You asked for a rewind to the goal.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like that when I was a student and I lived up the road from St. James's Park. I lived about like 5 minutes walk away from St. James's Park in my first year there. And you'd just be like sitting in your front room on like a Saturday afternoon and you just hear the noise of a goal.
Oh, yeah.
It's just amazing.
Stadium's right in the middle of City.
Well, they're quite rare now, of course.
Yeah. When they're full. I can remember going to a Portsmouth game midweek and being late because I was kept behind at work or something and legging it from Fratton train station. And you can hear it all over that area of Portsmouth.
It's funny though.
Floodlights are in the distance. Amazing. It's an amazing experience. And we've lost that for a year now.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like seeing that goal, it not only made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, it was with me all day. I was driving back last night from doing the co-commentary on the Juventus-Porto game. And I played Can't Stop by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't even like Red Hot Chili Peppers, but it was the goal music that Leon used to play. It made me feel good, like re-listening to it.
And so what you're saying is that an empty Spurs stadium playing Darude Sandstorm every time as a goal isn't quite the same thing.
It's really not the same thing.
I'll tell you what, Kerncroft 400 has done bloody well out of this pandemic.
Zombie Nation.
Of course. The sound.
That is a tune, though, Zombie Nation.
The Spurs stadium has been designed to you know, really make the most of the crowd acoustic. And talk about feeling it inside you.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I love it so much. You know, that's one of the main things I think most people love about football, just being in that cauldron of noise and excitement. And I've missed it a lot. I also think in terms of being at games, I always feel afterwards that I've found the perfect route to get out the quickest. Yeah. And it's that little challenge of trying to do that every time and being convinced that this time is the time that I'm like out to the tube station or whatever. And I never am, obviously. But
well, getting home from Spurs is like one of those fucking SAS novels that's put out in the 90s. Do the job and get out as quick as you can. It might take about 3 weeks to get home.
There are still people coming back from their last home game.
Yeah, exactly. They're still travelling, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So I certainly haven't missed that part of it. But it's gone so fast and football feels so different now. And, you know, I think we've all had, for example, too much Steve McManaman. We have. I disagree with that. You know, we've had too much of it. And we haven't had enough, I don't think, insight into what the players are saying during a game. We had some of it, and we pick up on a few bits and pieces. But do you remember that game at Barcelona they put, which had no fans because there were some protests?
Yeah.
And they released a video of all the players, and Suarez was in their mess. It was amazing listening to them. You could hear everything they were saying.
Yes.
It was amazing. Suarez was like slating Messi the whole game. At one point, I think I said this on the show before.
And yet he was begging for more by the time he left. Amazing.
I said this on the show once before, and I went to go and find the video after this, and I couldn't actually find it, so I don't know if it's been removed. But in my mind, I'm sure I remember at one point Suarez screaming at Messi, obviously in Spanish, "Don't call for the ball if you don't want it." To Lionel Messi.
That is proper husband and wife business, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, amazing.
Don't say you're going to take out the bins and not do it.
Yeah, exactly.
It is bin day, actually. I can see why you're thinking of that down my end.
No, Thursday's mine.
Oh, is it?
We had to delay all the On the Continent recordings, do you remember, back on Thursday morning? Back in the day, because we had to wait for it to
I was
go
thinking
through.
Today it's good to be out because the bins aren't going to be coming.
Kate, Luke, this is too good. Let's save it for the Patreon.
Of
course, hearing the players is something that has been really enjoyable, though. I love, you know, the chance to hear anything Antonio Conte gets up to because he loves to have a bit of a meltdown at everyone. Of course, we saw the giving the finger. I mean, I guess we would have been able to see that even if the crowds were in recently to Agnelli.
Who was it who said that when Antonio...
No, that wouldn't have happened, would it? Because
he could
hear Agnelli shouting at him.
What am I talking about?
It might have looked like he was giving the finger to a member of the crowd who no doubt would have reported him. Well, that would certainly happen in England anyway, wouldn't it?
More beef.
Some player once said, when Antonio Conte shouts at you, his words assault you.
There's that wonderful line he had towards the end of the first season at Juventus on Buffon, wasn't it? Where Buffon was approaching him very nicely after they'd already won the title, before the final game of an unbeaten season, and said to him, "Is it okay if we talk about bonuses?" And Conte turns around to him and goes, "Every time you open your mouth, you're a disappointment to me."
To Buffon?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Oh my goodness me, that's brilliant.
Reporting, complaining about the foul given for Adama Traore. He's built like a big brick shit house. How's he gone down that. Like that? That was a classic.
Great accent to that as well, which made it better.
Tuchel was good the other night, I thought, with Timo Werner. I mean, that's a nice little trailer for the way it's eventually going to go at Chelsea.
That's what the guys were saying yesterday. So you didn't have to be German to understand that.
You don't have to. This was the context of the SMR thing.
Yeah.
Martin Tyler's SMR. It's been something that people feel is good about this iteration of football.
So, Kate, why don't you have a go at describing to our listeners what ASMR is?
Well, you said it's like a sexual thing.
Don't put it back on me. I want you to explain your understanding of it. No, you don't want
to. It's like a tone of voice that turns people on.
I don't actually know.
What? Brassel? You made out like you knew.
What, like John Motson?
So no one knows.
I think more broadly with Martin Tyler, he's not the commentator he once was. And I think we need to establish and accept that as well, because it's been a shame. But it happens to everyone. It happened to me about 5 years ago. It's one of those things.
Mm. Now you're pushing 50.
Yeah, quite. Yeah.
On the upside.
Pushing for quite a distance.
with a pole.
Yeah.
On the upside, players are apparently, according to a study from the University of Salzburg, the players are actually much more calm without fans. Apparently, arguments have decreased by 4.7%. I thought people would be less inclined to simulate or to like exaggerate their injuries, but I don't think that has turned out to be the case.
I think that is true, but in the penalty box, all bets are off.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
You've got to go down like a seal.
Yeah, I mean, Morata did that a few times last night. I mean,
it's funny. Someone, a work colleague yesterday, showed me a picture of it was an old match from, I think it was the Czech Republic in the 80s, and it had a massive penalty box in it. You know when you've got the edges of the penalty box are almost touching the touchline?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, A, my old school pitch looked like that.
Same.
And B, the penalty box was fucking massive. Why didn't I dive more in schoolboy football?
Yeah. That's why you're not an international.
Yeah, that'll be it. Too honest.
I can remember, this is a bit of a humble brag, so bear with me. Normally I just do brags, but I can remember exactly that at school. And I can remember playing, when you play on Saturday pitches and Sunday pitches around where I'm from London, you don't realise exactly how much bigger the pitches are at the top level. We were invited to play at Wembley, right?
Yeah.
And we played at Wembley in a game. And honestly,
it's impossible crossing walking across is exhausting.
No, but the gap between the top of the penalty area and the centre circle, I just couldn't stop laughing at how much it was. It was ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So I know some boffin's going to email in and say, actually, all pictures are the same size. They're fucking
No, they're definitely not. That's a known thing. Like, because I've humble brag, played on White Hart Lane back in the day, and that was famously smaller, wasn't it, as well?
Oh, the professional ones between themselves are within a certain amount of parameters now.
Yeah.
But the difference between them and a amateur pitch that you see down the road,
I'm with you.
I think is completely different. But anyway, that's a slight diversion.
Before we head off into the sunset, let's have a little word on Mark Noble, because he has announced that this season he's going to be retiring at the end of the season, 2022.
Yeah, 1 year extension, I think.
Sorry, that just sounds like some mythical future date, but friends, that is the world we're living in. So he signed a 1 year deal, and he said that's going to be it for him. He wrote a letter to fans to confirm that he will be leaving West Ham. He says it sounds like he sort of wanted to go, kind of didn't really want to go. I've also had conversations with the manager. It's clear that he and the club want to build something and continue to take the football club forward in a positive way. Blah, blah, blah. He goes on to say that he's going to keep, you know, giving his all for the club.
So is he basically getting the 1 year extension so fans will be back in?
I guess he quits. Yeah. He's had three starts this season, and he's obviously not a regular anymore, but what a servant he's been for that club. 18 years.
That's something to really look forward to next season, don't you think? The fact that
he gets
he's not going to play all the time, but at some point, he's going to have a moment. He's going to have a Dwayne Wade buzzer beater against Golden State Warriors. It's going to be amazing.
I also think that it's great that he is from down the road, obviously born in Canning Town. One club man, don't see that very much anymore. That does mean something, and it should mean something. He deserves a huge amount of credit for the service he's given to that club, but also to play that many appearances. I think with the exception of two seasons, I think one of those at the very start of his career, he was in the Premier League the whole time, which is amazing for him. And one thing that also goes overlooked, I think, is the influence he's had on Declan Rice, who you guys were waxing lyrical about yesterday. He's had an amazing season. The world is at his feet, Declan Rice. He's brilliant. He can do everything. He's said that Mark Noble has been a massive influence on him. Mm. He's kept him on the straight and narrow, looked after him, shown him the way. And so I'm sure, I don't know what Mark Noble's going to do after he finishes playing, but it would be amazing if he could stay in the game somehow, because he obviously loves the club and loves the game. And if you haven't read the letter that he wrote to the West Ham fans, I would recommend you read it. It's touching. It's a long old letter. He obviously means a lot of everything of what he says, and it's a very touching read. So in the world of football that can be quite cutthroat and quite heartless in places, it's a nice little island of solace among that. So I'd recommend you read that as well.
It seems to imply as well that he'll be heavily involved in the academy at the very least. Great. Because his son is there, Lenny. He's a man who's threaded through the history of West Ham and, of course, led them out in their final game at Upton Park back in 2016. He's been great. Congrats, Mark. And I hope he gets a proper send-off, like Brass is saying.
Yeah. We'll give him one on the ramble as well.
Why yeah, damn right. Don't use all your material, you Luke. We'll be back to this. Let's give you a big old send-off now. It's time for
us... Never come back.
You're going to be fired out of a cannon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, out of a catapult with Cristiano Ronaldo.
Is that the best use of Luke Moore?
Yeah.
No, discuss maybe. Right in show at footballramble.com. Tomorrow we've got Marcus, Andy and Vish in your ears. Say goodbye, Lee.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Brass.
Goodbye.
Bye from me, obviously. Shut up.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.